If nothing is certain, then anything is possible. If anything is possible, this certainly is. If nothing is certain, then anything is possible. If anything is possible, this certainly is. My name is Mark Brown. Welcome to my paranormal reality. This episode, Knowing the Phone Would Ring, occurred June 15, 1985. I never really thought that much more about that time in the basement with the Ouija board, and similarly, never really thought about or considered the paranormal in general. To be honest, I might not have even considered about writing about this. But I know that it always bothered my brother, so I thought it was worth sharing. At the time I was 17, I had graduated from high school and was having my open house party. I had never been very social in school, so didn't have a lot of friends. With that, my open house was pretty much like any of our other family gatherings, with much the same people, only this time the party was about me. We had several picnic tables, some food, and beer, although not a lot of beer. My friends and I were still years away from being able to legally drink, and we were not the type to drink in high school regardless. If my friends and I were going to stay up all night partying, it usually meant that we had bought our share of junk food, pop, and were going to shoot pool and play computer games, D&D, or Dungeons and Dragons, and or Risk for all hours of the night. Needless to say, the beer was starting to go to waste. I noticed that my dad was getting into the spirit of the party a little more than usual, but didn't think much of it. Again, there weren't many other people, so my dad was one of the few people drinking. As the party began winding down and one of my friends noted that he should get going, but he needed a ride home. His parents had left some time ago, but he had chosen to stay on, knowing that someone would take him home. Not surprisingly, my dad offered to take him. I felt a cringe when he said that they would take his motorcycle, but let it go. I felt embarrassed because my dad had been acting a little odd earlier. Then again, I was 17, and pretty much anything either that my parents did embarrassed me. So I watched them ride off and went back to cleaning up what was left of the party. A few minutes later, my brother and I had done our part, and we went and sat on the front porch. As we were sitting there, we both heard a siren in the distance. We lived in a small town, a village actually, and just across the railroad tracks from the main road at that. So it would be fair to say that you could hear just about every siren and train that went through our town from our front porch. My brother was listening out of curiosity, as all little brothers are interested in the passing of a siren to some extent. I, however, simply stood there with a furrowed brow, waiting and anticipating. I knew something was wrong. I didn't know what, but I knew. Then the phone began to ring, and I immediately turned away from where we had been looking, and my focus went to the waiting telephone. The siren had stopped moments before, but my brother and I had still been staring in its direction, as if we could somehow see what was happening over a mile away. After looking at the phone in the house, still ringing, I turned to my brother and told him matter-of-factly, Dad's been in an accident. He turned to me in disbelief. This time he had the furrowed brow. He was only 9, but the furrowed brow was clearly a family trait passed down from father to sons. My dad had been riding motorcycles since before either my brother or I had been born. My dad had been drinking on and off for several years and rode his motorcycle regardless of his mental state. He had never had an accident of any sort, and if asked, he would happily tell you that he was better on his bike when he was half in the bag. To my brother, my saying that Dad had just been in an accident was akin to me announcing that I was a Martian. He looked at me dumbfounded. "How do you know?" he demanded incredulously. "I don't know," I sighed, returning my gaze to where we had last heard the siren. "I just know." Then we heard our mom answer the phone and immediately become hysterical. She came running out to the front porch, exclaiming to both of us, "Your father's been in an accident. We need to go to the hospital." I stood there, staring back into the distance, where I now had confirmation that my father and my friend had just been in an accident. I replied with a little emotion, "I know." Both my father and my friend lived through that accident, and for the most part unharmed. After losing control of the bike, my dad had skidded on the pavement and came to a stop by kissing a fire hydrant. He lost a front tooth in the process, and of course, got a serious case of road rash. My friend was unharmed, but maybe a little mentally scarred. When he had gotten back onto his feet, he saw my dad lying unconscious and bleeding from the mouth. Being in shock himself and not noticing that my dad was breathing, he began to run around screaming, "He's dead! He's dead!" Years later, it became a story to laugh at for most of us, but never completely for me. I will never know exactly what I knew that day or how I knew it. Some people will read this and come to a very logical conclusion. It was a small town. I had just seen my dad drinking, then get on a motorcycle. Then minutes later, there was a siren. This is what some will argue was a no-brainer. From my perspective, however, I agree, but for a different reason. It was a no-brainer, because there wasn't any thinking involved. I just knew. This story touches on a couple of interesting aspects that we're going to see come up here later on in the various stories. A couple of them specifically on the concept of telepathy, and I will have a little bit of for lack of a better term, a rant about that one later on here. But I think one of the big things to really pull out of this is a more generic term or a concept of shared experiences or just sharing in general. And really what can happen when we truly focus our minds. And in reading the story again, I realized a couple of times that I noticed how my focus was off where the accident was and or where I envisioned that it was based on the siren, and then on the phone itself. And I think that there's an important thing that many of us tend to forget or ignore. And it's because we get so wrapped up in the 3D experience of what we see, what we smell, what we touch, that we don't give credit, or we seem to forget or ignore the concept of being able to deal with anything beyond that. And I know, yes, that is extrasensory perceptions. That's that 1970s, 80s term that got really popular when people talked about what was beyond our basic senses. But I think that the thing that I was realizing there was, it wasn't even where I was looking. It's where I was focused. And that's something that I'd like you to think about and play with, that concept. Because 99% of the time that we are conscious, aware of what we're doing, paying attention, our focus is exactly where our eyes are. If our eyes are looking there, then that's where our focus is. But that's not always the case, and it doesn't have to be the case. And what's interesting is what can happen when you specifically work to make that not be the case, and allow your focus to truly be somewhere other than where your eyes are looking, where your eyes are focused on. We'll see that, and again, hear about that much later on, but honestly, try that out a little bit. Look around, and then change your focus to look around while you keep your eyes really lazily just maybe even looking down at a book, possibly even one that you've just recently bought. Could even be this one that you're hearing right now. And of course, if the book that you were looking down at is not My Paranormal Reality, then take a quick pause here. Just hit the pause button. I won't even know it. And, wait until after I get done with this. Go to the website, myparanormalreality.com. Peruse it. Look around. I will take a pause to welcome you to My Paranormal Reality. Thanks again for tuning in and listening. I hope you're enjoying it so far. I believe this is the 6th episode. I'll know it when I actually label it, but I'm pretty sure that's it. And again, this one is called Knowing the Phone Would Ring. For those of you that already have the book, as you know that I am reading along with the stories, this one was Knowing the Phone Would Ring. And it touches upon a couple of things, one being the concept of focus and where our minds do get focused. And basically in this one, I was almost trying to take my body there to find out what was going on. My mind was racing. It wanted to know what was happening, where the siren was. It knew that the siren was roughly between me and my friend's house, and it wanted to be there. I wanted to experience and see what was going on. Of course, all the questions that needed to be answered. But I also believe that it started to touch on a concept that we're going to hear about later on, which is telepathy. I have a couple of stories about it, but the point I wanted to bring up here is that I think that too many times people get stuck into this all or nothing concept. They have to have everything or nothing, and it's either great or it's garbage. Where I mean on that is that when people would talk about telepathy, again, even back in the 70s and 80s, it was usually superheroes that had this extremely superpower, or aliens, or basically anything other than a standard, ordinary human being. And the definition of telepathy was pretty straightforward. I can have an entire conversation with you in my head and never have to open my mouth or utter a word. And you can talk back with me. We can just keep going back and forth and really just like a telephone call. Just, same concept. But obviously that was impossible and magical and fantastical. But what's really been interesting to me personally is that over the last several years, especially since 2008, the year of my brother's passing, there's been several times that I've documented, journaled, and noted things that have happened where they couldn't be coincidence, or maybe that's my interpretation, is they couldn't be coincidence, and you, the listener, will have to determine for yourself, or you, the reader, if you've bought the book. And the concept, though, is that I don't think that you really have to have entire conversations to hit the mark of telepathy. Why does it have to be a two-way conversation, two-way phone call? And if it's not that, then it's not telepathy and it's garbage and you're making it up. What about a one-way conversation of a single word or an image or a thought? How many times have you heard of a mother talking about someone and knowing that her child was in danger or her child was hurt? She just knew it. She didn't have to ask him. She didn't have to call him. She knew it. Some of them even getting up, leaving in the middle of something, saying, "I have to go." And being right. I know, there's confirmation bias, which, if you're not familiar with the term, means that when you're looking for a pattern and you find a pattern, you call it a match. When you're looking for the pattern and you don't see the pattern, you ignore it. And it doesn't count as a fail. So when you look back on things, you've only had a pass, you've never had a fail. And that's because of you ignoring the fails. So what that's saying is all the times that you've heard of a mother that has had those experiences, how many times did she get home and find out, no, there was actually nothing wrong at all? Versus, how many times did she get home and find out, yep, someone had had a problem, whether it was a false alarm, and the child thought that it was a problem, or whether there was an actual problem, either of those should be considered a pass. I haven't done my own science for this one, other than my own personal stories. But I think what you're going to find is that this is more of a pass than a fail. And my guess would be that it's an overwhelming pass. There's just something about the tie of family. You just know. If you've heard the story Mother's Day, you'll have known that I had a brief touch of a telepathic hint there as well. If not, spoiler alert, I got a feeling that I should call my dad and it was a strong feeling that I should have went with. But the point is it was just a feeling. And that's the thing that I think that, again, falls into this fail for telepathy, because people discredit it. They don't hear an actual two-way conversation in their head, or they don't even hear a one-way conversation in their head, like someone trying to talk on a walkie-talkie and them not knowing how to hit the send button themselves. It's never anything like that. Well, I can't say never. Usually never. But I think what you're going to find, especially if you continue listening throughout this and maybe start paying more attention to odd feelings or signs or whatever you want to call them, weird coincidences, I think that as you pay more attention, you're going to see more of them. And you're going to have to start to wonder and question for yourself, how much of this is confirmation bias, and how much of this is the paranormal being more normal than we expect. The rant on telepathy that I was alluding to earlier is that with all these years, I've seen my own cases of limited forms of telepathy. I know that something exists. I know that there's some form of communication, some way to transmit something, whether it is, I think from my experience, it only happens in situations of extreme stress, but that also makes sense, that it's, if it's a muscle that we don't work and we don't train, it's only going to happen and only going to be useful when our pure instincts call upon it, because they're the only things that know how to use it. It's kind of like learning how to control your oxygen intake or your metabolism, like Wim Hof, the Iceman, and finding out, as he says, that these types of things are completely attainable to the natural person. We just usually don't know how to tap into them, and we haven't been exercising ourselves properly. So, for the most part, this book and this podcast has been to document and to share and basically try and get information out to people of, hey, this is some weird shit that happened to me, and maybe weird shit's happening to you as well. Let's get weird. But part of it's also to kind of get the awakening out to people to start paying more attention. I think that there's a lot of times that we're just ignoring, writing off. We're getting so wrapped up into what science tells us that we're forgetting to pay attention to what our mind and our heart is telling us. So, the rant. Why the fuck is it that everyone in science has been telling us for the past centuries that telepathy was impossible? It's fantastical. It's magic. No one can do it. Stop dreaming about it. And yet, just in this last year, scientists, some scientists, some lab somewhere, possibly MIT, possibly Cornell, I don't know. Don't sue me for getting that wrong. Look it up. I'm sure you can Google it pretty easily. Some scientists have hooked up one person to a computer, basically brain scan, little just electrodes on the outside of their head, And then another person miles away, possibly even country away. I don't recall the details. Again, Google it. That person had electrodes. And the one person was able to electronically transmit a word, and the person on the receiving side heard it. And the person, neither of them, were within any visible contact of each other, miles and miles and miles and miles and miles away, and didn't use their lips. Telepathy is possible with computers, is what the newspapers are claiming. Science is showing telepathy via computer assistance is now possible. Well, fucking thank you, science, for catching up to the game. Except you're still fucking light years behind. Because you're involving a middleware of computers that has to have you connected. I disagree. That's bullshit. I'm a computer programmer. I love computers. I love technology. If you ask my wife, I have too much fucking technology in my house. She wants me to get rid of some of the technology. I remind her, the technology is what pays the bills because I'm a computer programmer and a goddamn good one. And that makes the money. So the technology stays and I win the battles. But there are times that I start to think that we are just getting too goddamn dependent on technology. And when we rely on scientists to show that telepathy is possible, but only with the help of computers, it's a little too much like religion. And the problem that I have with religion, and that is some guy trying to tell me that I can get to God, but I have to go through his pathway. He's the only one. Whether it's the funky magician that you guys like to worship over in Italy, and I don't mean that too disrespectfully, but Joe Rogan has a way with words, and goddamn, I love him sometimes. Or whether it is just the local cultist that is telling you the way. They're interfering. You don't need them. You don't need them to get to God. You don't need them to get to the higher power or get in touch with it. And you don't need computers to do something that I believe that our brains have evolved over millions of years? Let's say hundreds of thousands at least, right? I think that there was a time, even before our organized thoughts, that we needed a way to share simple shit like, big fucking lion up here, I'm about to die. That's important for the rest of the tribe to know. And evolutionary, actually, it seems like something that we would be able to possibly adapt and certainly would want to cultivate. Certainly, those would be the ones that would live if that was possible. The ones that knew that there was a line around that corner versus the ones that didn't and blindly walked around and got eaten as well. Fuck. That's natural selection right there. So I know I'm getting all woo-woo and wonky for you people, but let me bring it back to science. There is a thing called the pineal gland. They found it is exactly where the crazy people that talk about your third eye hey, guess what? Fuck, that's where the pineal gland is. And they don't know what it's for. But they say it actually does seem to resemble an eye, like it could actually pick up things. But obviously it can't see optically because it's buried underneath your skin. So what does it do? Some people have suggested that it actually can be used to do some of the higher power shit that people talk about, like outer body of experiences, remote viewing, astral projection, etc., etc. One thought that's a lot more down to earth is that it's a radio detector that can absorb and detect some types of brain waves. We hear that animals can detect fear, and we don't know exactly how. We think maybe it's a scent. But is there a brainwave oriented around fear? I would bet there is. And if your pineal gland could detect that, that would be helpful, wouldn't it? And what if the pineal gland was able to evolve over the years and get a better ability to detect more and more detail? I think where I'm going here is simply that I don't know. We don't know. But it's time we stop paying attention to when science says that things are not possible. Nothing is impossible. Highly, highly, highly improbable, as Douglas Adams will tell you, there is a great, great difference between impossible and extremely improbable. But in an infinite universe such as we exist, at least that's what they tell us, even the most improbable things will happen. So that brings me back to the opening chant that you hear me start with. And that was just a little message that I got at some point from the universe. And that was this: nothing is certain. And what I realized with a little following the logic trail, if nothing is certain, then anything is possible. I'm going to leave you with that tonight. I hope you've had a good one. I hope you enjoy this podcast. If you do, please share it. Tweet us. Let us know that you enjoy it and that you'd like to hear more of it. @my_paranormal. Also, we have a Facebook page, My Paranormal Reality. Website, myparanormalreality.com. You can get the book there, either ebook or print. No excuses. You can get it however you like to read. If you don't really like to read, then just keep listening to the podcast. And if you really think that we have a kick-ass logo, then check out the merch page. You can get various things through Cafe Press, like T-shirts or coffee mugs, or the ever-popular laptop skin. Show your brand favoritism for My Paranormal Reality. Or not, and just keep listening. Either way, enjoy.